Father, we just come today and we just ask that you would give us understanding into your word and that you would help us to understand what this means that we've been reading here this morning, what this means at the personal level, because it is so important that we understand it. And Lord, it is something that I think the enemy has succeeded in hiding from a lot of people. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand this so that we can actually put it into practice. And we know that that is your will for us. So we just pray now that you'll take your word and use it abundantly and fruitfully in our lives today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Probably realize by now that this is a topic that I gravitate back to from time to time, but I don't think it's one that we can talk about too much, really, or dwell on too much. In Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, if I wanted to give somebody a handbook, okay, here's a little handbook on successful Christian living. That's all you would need. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Just read it, reread it, digest it. It's all we need for successful Christian living. It's the best little handbook on successful Christian living that I know of anywhere. Why do we talk about this from time to time? Because it is essential. Because it is God's will for us. It is not just his will for the most spiritual among us, as we would say. And I don't know what stick we use, you know, to measure that. But it's his will for every single one of us. And to whatever degree we're able to implement this, we will live successfully before the Lord. And to whatever degree we're not, we're still saved, but we will not be living successfully as the Lord would count it. And I just was wondering, you know, for any of us really, somebody said, okay, how you been doing with this walking in the Spirit thing? How would you rate yourself right now on a scale of 1 to 10? How has it been even this last week? Has it been a 3? Has it been a 5? Has it been a 6? I doubt if any of us would score a 10, but I think it certainly would be the Lord's will that all of us would be moving. And if you say, well, I'm no higher now than I was a year ago, then we've probably got a problem. And I think that the Lord would want this certainly to be an 8 or a 9 most of the time in most of our lives. So anyway, we're just going to talk about it a little bit today. There's no magic formula or anything. It's just something that the Lord has made available to us, and it's really the ABCs. It's really just the basics of successful Christian living. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul, before he became a believer, he was a Pharisee of the Jews, and they were very, very strict, and they had a lot of rules, and they had a lot of regulations, and he says in one place, concerning the righteousness that is by the law, faultless. In other words, if you checked him on the checklist of do's and don'ts within that framework of Jewish culture, he would have rated close to 100. And yet, he didn't know the Lord. And in fact, he was trying to erase, to snuff out the church. But then the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and he was stricken down, and he was blind for 3 days, and he couldn't see, and the Lord sent a servant named Ananias over there, and he laid hands on him and prayed for him, and two things happened at that time. One is that scales fell from his eyes. There's probably a spiritual significance to that as well. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, everything was different. Now, we know about Peter. Peter and all the disciples had been with Jesus day and night for 3.5 years. They knew him, they loved him, they had heard a lot of his teaching, they believed him to be the Messiah and all the rest. But before Jesus leaves, he says, now, I'm leaving, and he says, after I leave, somebody else is coming. And his name is the Holy Spirit. His name is the Spirit of Truth. And he's going to lead you into all truth. And he's going to teach you the things I couldn't, that I didn't have time, or that you weren't ready yet to receive. He's going to lead you into all truth. So go back to Jerusalem and stay put and don't go anywhere until you've been clothed with power from on high. And there in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we know that they were there in that upper room for 10 days praying around the clock. And then on day 10, the Holy Spirit came and he was given. They were all filled with the Spirit. And from that moment on, I mean, Peter was still Peter. He was all that. He was still in the flesh as far as being in a body of flesh. But from that moment on, he had a boldness he had never had before. He was able to stand up and proclaim Christ. 3,000 people came to the Lord. And from that point on, he was empowered. He was empowered for ministry, and he was led by the Spirit, and God used him in a mighty way. So we have a man like Peter, just a common fisherman, and God's able to work through him mightily, but it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even that time with Jesus, 3.5 years with Jesus, wasn't enough to empower Peter to be able to say, when the maid there around the fire said, you're one of them, aren't you? And he's like, no, not me. So even being with Jesus 3.5 years wasn't able to empower him for that. And so the transformation that takes place in us when we come to know the Lord is done by the Holy Spirit. The transformation is done by him. And then after the transformation is done, he is also the one who empowers us then on a day-to-day basis to actually live this thing out and actually move forward in God. So let's just, if you're one of those who likes to have the notes, fill in some blanks, now would be the time to get those. Just a few observations, mostly based on the teachings here of Romans 8. Now, in Romans 6, 7, and 8, Paul talks about how this thing works. And if you have an NIV Bible and you're in chapter 7, starting at verse 7, there's a little title there. Now, that was just put there by somebody, but they entitled this Struggling with Sin, Struggling with Sin. It's a very depressing passage from there on down. And you find words like sin and death and law in that passage. And then when you get to chapter 8, everything shifts completely. And you know me, I like to see subject matter sometimes by counting frequency. Spirit with a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, Spirit with a capital S occurs 15 times in the first 16 verses of chapter 8. And 18 times in the first 27. Now, if you find the same word 15 times in 16 verses, do you get the idea that maybe that's one of the main subjects of that passage? And so what Paul is doing is setting up the contrast here. And he uses flesh. Now, in your NIV, it's going to say sinful nature. But the original word there is flesh. It just means in the natural. In the natural. Now, it is true that our fallen flesh has a sinful nature. But in the natural, apart from the Spirit of God, then I'm not able to please God. I'm not able to do what pleases Him. Man, outside of the Spirit of God, can do many things. They can become a PhD. They can become an expert in many fields. They can design great architectural wonders and build them. They can become the CEO of a multinational company and all kinds of things. But what they can't do is engender any life from God or perform one act that truly pleases God. And so when it comes to the Christian life, all of that is absolutely worthless. All of it. And Paul came to realize this. And he said, in one passage, he talks about all that stuff that he was. And he says, I now consider it all garbage that I might have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So, let's go to number one. Number one, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And we read that a while ago. And it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So based on that verse, I'm going to say that every true believer, the Holy Spirit, I don't know how active he is, he may not be that active, but he's in there somewhere. How many know that sometimes something will lie dormant? The Holy Spirit will be as active as we desire him to be, basically. So if we ignore him or whatever, push him to the back, the Holy Spirit doesn't impose himself on us. So what Paul is talking about here is two ways of functioning in daily life. That's why he talks about walking in the Spirit. And when it talks about walking, it's talking about our daily function, how we approach daily life. And so he's there, and he's functioning at some level, or maybe not functioning very much because we've been ignoring him and we've been shutting him out. How active do you want the Holy Spirit to be in your life? The Holy Spirit works by invitation. And again, he doesn't force himself on us. And it's a daily thing on any given day. And you'll notice that it talks here in these opening verses about the carnal-mindedness, the mind set on the things of the flesh. So when we are overly concerned with the things of the flesh, we've pretty much put him to the side. And when we're trying to figure it out on our own and we haven't put it to prayer, we've pushed him aside. And when we're in a situation and we let our own little old emotions kick in and take over and respond the way the flesh responds, we've pushed him to the side. We haven't said, Holy Spirit, help me to know in this moment what is the right answer to give. Or what is the right thing to do? Take a minute. You can do that. Even during the day, you can say, Lord, I'm getting ready to go to this interview. I don't know what I ought to say, so guide me in this interview. Lord, I'm getting ready to go into this home. I'm getting ready to visit these people. I don't know what their needs are today. I pray that while I'm there, you will give me enlightenment to know what the needs are and that you will work through me today. Lord, you hear what so-and-so said and the things that they're spreading about me that are not true. Now, Lord, show me what is the response of a true believer. That is daily Christian living. And that is something that no amount of head knowledge or theology will give you. That is something that has to be practiced on a day-to-day basis. And the thing I love about this walking in the Spirit, that the most elementary believer, that even if they didn't know how to read or write, or even if they have a second or third grade education, they're able to do this. And if they do know six languages and have three PhDs, they're able to do this if they'll put some of that other stuff aside, at least as it pertains to our daily living in the Lord. There is no substitute for this. This is absolutely essential. Listen, it's not complicated. We used to have a saying a lot. We used it a lot in the car business. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. Walking in the Spirit, I'll just say it this way. It is walk. You know that word independence? We like that in the West. Independence. It's one word. Independence. And it means I'm not dependent, I'm independent. I'm not dependent on anybody. Well, I use independence a lot, but when I use it, it's two words, and it means the opposite. I live independence upon the Lord. Every minute, every hour, every day. All of us slip at some point, but the goal is, Lord, I want to live independence on you. How many have heard this story? I'm sure some of you have. The person is praying and they're saying, now, Lord, it's, you know, whatever. It's Tuesday morning. Lord, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't spoken out of place. I haven't said anything bad about anybody. I haven't thought any bad thoughts. But, Lord, in a couple minutes, I'm going to be getting up. And I'm going to need all the help I can get. And that's why every single day we've got to live in dependence upon Him. That's the same thing as walking in the Spirit. Because when I live in dependence on Him, who is it that's going to be doing the leading and the guiding and the showing? Is it not the Holy Spirit? Absolutely, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. So that's what it is, really. And it's how we approach this thing. I can't, but He can. How many know that's true? Jesus said, separated from me, you can do nothing. On the other side of that coin, the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, how does Christ strengthen me if not by the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life? So one equates to the other. And to live in dependence upon Him day by day. So, if you are a true believer, if you're really born again, now check yourself. Just because we're in church doesn't mean we've really accepted the Lord or come to know the Lord. But if you really embrace Jesus as Savior, then, you know, the Holy Spirit is there. And many times, he's just waiting, in a sense, to be activated in any one of our individual lives. And I guarantee you, his name is Parakletos, the Paraclete, the one who comes aside to help and to aid. He's my coach. And all I have to do is say, I need help here. And he's right there. He's right there. Number two, the flesh will let us down every time. The Spirit will give us victory without fail. It doesn't matter if your name is Mary or Helen or John or Robert. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. The flesh is still the flesh. Theologians say, well, in chapter 7 there, is Paul talking about himself before he was a believer, or is he talking about after he's a believer? He's talking about functioning in the flesh versus functioning in the Spirit. Even after I come to know the Lord, the flesh is still the flesh. And if the flesh isn't still there and still active, why is he saying to the people that he's writing to, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh? And then over in Galatians 5, 16 to 26, that's the accompanying passage, which will be posted with these notes on the website. He talks about, walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So he makes it very clear that the flesh is still there. It is still the flesh. It's just a matter of which way I'm going to operate. And what is the flesh? Wanting to do it myself. Self-effort. And out in the world, of course, you know, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. Well, yeah, and as a believer, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the flesh isn't going to get me there. Not in the things of God. Number three, God's law, apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, actually stirs up the sin nature. Trying to please God in ourselves is futile. And if you haven't figured that out yet, then you haven't been paying a whole lot of attention, because it is an absolute fact. And in Romans 7, 7 to 11, that's where he talks about that. He said there's something about God's law. It's pure, it's holy, it's right, but the more I don't want to do something, the more, he says, I find myself doing it. I experienced that probably more in the 3 months leading up to my salvation than at any period in my life. And that's the thing that actually drove me to despair. And made me throw myself on the mercies of God, because I wanted to do what was right, but I was trying to do it. And the harder I tried not to, the more I did. So I know what this is talking about here. And that's the way the flesh is. That's just, there's something in the flesh. So when the flesh encounters God's law, God's requirement, there's just something in the flesh that says it can't please God. It doesn't please God, and indeed cannot. It hasn't. It won't. And so, Lord, I need your help today. Number four. Here's the formula, more or less, as Paul gives it to us here. The flesh plus God's law equals death. That's because the flesh cannot meet the requirements of God's law. Christ's atoning death on the cross, plus the indwelling activity of the Holy Spirit, equal life and peace. So the thing that happens in between there is that Jesus dies on the cross. And in dying on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, whose sins did he bear on the cross? Yours and mine, right? And all sin was judged at that moment, right there on the cross. All sin was judged right then and right there, which is why it can say in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is now, therefore, no what? Condemnation. To those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Because Jesus has paid the debt. He has paid the cost. So there is now no condemnation. And on top of that, that took care of that part. That took care of the condemnation part. Now there's two kinds of condemnation. I don't have time to get into this deep this morning. There's the actual condemnation of sin, because I sinned and I broke God's law. But then there's also the condemnation that I feel when I do wrong. And there are those who know the Lord as their personal Savior and yet walk around under condemnation all the time, feeling unworthy, feeling guilty, because the old devil has put a guilt trip on them. And I don't know how many times I've said it from this pulpit. The Holy Spirit doesn't put guilt trips on people. So if you're walking around with a guilt trip, it's the devil that's done that in order to bind you, in order to keep you from being in victory, in order to hinder your fellowship and daily fellowship with the Lord. What the Holy Spirit does is convict you of sin, but that's not the same thing as putting a guilt trip on you. Convicting me of sin means the Holy Spirit says, that is wrong. Confess it and get it under the blood of Jesus. Because everything that the Holy, listen to this, everything that the Holy Spirit does is solution oriented. Everything that the devil does is not solution oriented and is designed to keep us going in circles. So when the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin, what is he trying to do? He's trying to bring me to repentance so that I confess the sin, get it under the blood, get it out of the way, and can go on in unhindered fellowship. That's all. It is in order to restore the relationship. Everything the Holy Spirit does is for a positive purpose. Number five. When one opposing principle is at work, the other is nullified. We can only operate under one principle at a time. My daddy always said that you can't sing and whistle at the same time. You've heard me say that before. I've tried it. I've never succeeded. You're either whistling or you're singing, but you can't sing and whistle at the same time. You can't be in the flesh, walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit at the same time. And I think there's some kind of a toggle switch somewhere. And have you caught yourself reacting in the flesh sometime in some situation? Well, all you got to do is throw the toggle switch. That's all. Lord, I know I'm reacting in the flesh here. Lord, I need your help right now. And right then, the Holy Spirit will come in and get you back on track. Aren't you glad it's that easy? It is that easy. It is that easy. The devil will say, no, you got to walk on glass and you got to say 35 Hail Marys and you got to do this and that and the other. And even then, you can't be sure you're forgiven because you really messed up this time. And the thing is, thank you for bringing that up. We don't have to buy it. We've already got it. It's just a matter of focus. When he talks about being carnally minded, virtually spiritually minded, it's just a matter of focus. So, Lord, I realize. So I've messed up, Lord. I realize. So, Lord, I repent. I confess it. Now, Lord, from where, and he can only take us from where we're at, right? In any given moment, Lord, from here on now. It could be something external, some interchange we've had with somebody, or it could just be internal negative thoughts or condemnation or anxiety or something the devil's putting in our mind. Lord, I realize, Lord, let me start living. What is it? In dependence upon you. And at that point, the Holy Spirit will take over. And six, life in the Spirit is God's intention and purpose for every believer. Oh, he loves us so much. So he didn't just take care of our sin problem on the cross so that we don't go to hell and then leave us on our own in order to live this Christian life. He has done so much more than that. The same one who died and bore our sins in his body on the cross and rose on the third day is the same one who is up there now interceding for us on the basis of that perfect sacrifice that he made. And then on top of that, he's given us his word, which is his revelation and his body of truth. It is for all of us. Have you read it lately? Somebody told me this week, they said, I had a friend. He was always talking to me about all these books he had read about the Bible. So I said to him, how long has it been since you actually read the Bible? And then he's given us no further than that simple little prayer. That's why it is important. It may not be a formal devotional time. You may say, well, I don't have time for formal devotional. But on your way to work or somewhere in there, Lord, I need your help today. I need it. I need your help today. Help me today to walk with you. Help me to be sensitive to your spirit today. Help me to be led by you today. Is that something we can do? And you'll be amazed if you really mean it and you really pray it every morning. You'll be amazed what will happen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you haven't left us on our own. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. And I take that to mean I will not leave you abandoned. I will not leave you on your own. But I will send you another comforter who will be with you always, all the time, every day, in every situation. Help us as believers to understand what you have provided for us and help us to walk in it. We don't have to do this thing on our own. We don't have to struggle and strain. All we have to do is turn to you for the help we need each day. So Lord, help us to do it and to experience the richness and the peace and the joy and the rewards of walking in your spirit. It's for all of us, no matter what our name is or where we are in life. May we lay hold of it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.